you tonight on some things that really is close to me. It's a deep concern of mine. And really, Brian, it's an extension of what you preach. Maybe the same, close to the same thing you preached about. You preached about going on. I'm going to preach on discipleship tonight. Try to, anyway, if the Lord will help me. Really, church, I always stand in need of your prayers. I can tell so many times when people's been praying for me, or at least it feels that way to me. And so I would encourage you to pray for me. It'll make the preaching you hear a lot better. That's just the facts of it. It'll benefit you to pray for me. It'll make it a lot easier on you sitting out there. And so please pray for me and keep me in your prayers. And my manner is, most preachers read the text and pray. I like to pray before I read the text. I just feel like that's an important thing for me to do. And so if you would, pray with me and for me. Our dear Heavenly Father, tonight I come to you. And Lord, you know who I am. You know how pitiful I am and how insufficient I am outside of you. And these folks know, they know, Father, if they get any help, it has to come from you. Please help us tonight. We're unworthy. We're unworthy of you doing anything for us. But Father, show us mercy and pass by our way and open our hearts and feed our souls and give us something to make us more what we need to be for you. Father, I pray you get all the glory. I pray you'd remove all hindrances and that you would do an eternal work in our midst. Give me clarity of thought and speech. And, oh, Father, please help us this evening. And may thy will be done. Whatever that is, may thy will be done. Oh, Father, we ask these things. Father, if there's any sin in my life that I failed to confess or failed to deal with, I pray, Father, you'd forgive me and make me a vessel of honor that you can use to help your people this evening. And, Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Well, I want to talk to you. I preach on this all the time. A burden on my heart is seeing God's people go on, as Brother Brian preached just the other night, grow, mature, be what they ought to be. Brian said he's burdened about it. Brian, I carry that burden nonstop, especially for our young people. We have young folks. I think you're some of the best, but the fact of the matter is there's more ground to cover. There's farther achievements to be had. We have not arrived. And so I want to talk to you tonight about this thing of discipleship, and really I want to look at the basis of discipleship. And so I'm going to read to you two places in Luke's gospel. You also find it in Matthew and Mark's gospel. Four times the Lord deals with this thing of discipleship. And I know it's a very familiar text. I don't know if I told you chapter 14, but I want to look in chapter 9 first, and then we'll go to 14. Chapter 9 and verse 23 says this. And he, let me give you just a second to get there. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now let's look in Luke chapter 14, and that's where we will spend our time. I do want you to get one phrase out of chapter 9. Let me remind you of this. In verse 24 of chapter 9, it says, "For whosoever..." Now let me back up. If verse 23, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me..." If any man will. If any man will. And so let's go to Luke 14, and that's where I want to spend my time this evening. And here's what I see in our world today. I see a spiritually shallow spiritual world. I see believers who are spiritually shallow. That seems to be the rule rather than the exception. And I ask myself this, why are they shallow? Is it a lack of preaching? Is it a pulpit problem? Is it a pew problem? Is it just the signs of the time? We like to blame everything on the times, but God hasn't changed. I just can't rule God out at this point in time. And so I want to say we're living in a shallow world. And I think it's obvious to most of God's people who's been in the race very long, we're living in a spiritually, and it goes right along with shallowness, we're living in a spiritually immature world. We have spiritually immature Christians. One of the saddest things to me is to see a believer, and many times I think a true believer who's been saved 40 or 50 years, and they're just a babe in Christ. That's a tragedy. That is just such a tragedy. And young people, I don't want that for your life. I don't want you to be a baby 20 years from now. I'm talking about spiritual. I'm not trying to insult you as far as physically, but I don't want you to be a spiritual babe kicking around in the spiritual playpen 20 or 30 years from now. But it's possible you could be that and do that. And so that is something that weighs on me on a regular basis. And so I've asked the question, why is that so? And I have to ask myself, is the church, not the Ridgeview Baptist Church, but I'm talking about the church in general, is the church really concerned about going on with God? Brother Brian is. He preached on it the other night. Are we concerned about abounding more and more and growing? He read several verses on that. We know it's the will of God to grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. It's one of the Peter, 1 Peter, Brother Brian, 2. It's in one of the Peters, the book of Peter. And so you can see that. He tells us time and again, abound more and more. And on and on. And so as we think about that, it's easy to identify problems, but it's hard to identify solutions sometimes. Here's the thing. We all know what the problems are. Nobody has difficulty with problems. But the issue is, what's the answer to the problems? And so that's kind of where I want to talk to you tonight. But I first want to say, and it was preached so well to us the other night, it's God's will that spiritual babes grow. It's not God's will for you to stay a baby in Christ. He wants you to grow. And so, to grow, the process of growing, we call discipling. We call that discipleship. We could go to Matthew's gospel. Let me just read. I have a couple of verses jotted down. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things. That's what we call discipling. It's teaching doctrinal truths to young converts. That's our part of it. And here's what I've come to believe, what I have preached to us time and again. We have a part, but the one who is to be a disciple has a part. Young people, you have a part if you want to be a disciple. You have a part in it. Now, I have a part to teach you truth, give you opportunity to exercise spiritually. That's why we do the things we do around here. We want our young folks to exercise, to eat right, spiritually speaking, to exercise. And if they have do their part and we do our part, then we all see some growth. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. And so we're going to look at just a minute at your part. The aspiring disciple has a part in his discipleship. And can I say an important part? If we're going to go on with God, you're going to have to do your part, young folk and old folk alike. I'm afraid we've not done a good job of educating our young people to what, and those who are newly saved, not just numerical or physical age, but I'm afraid we've done a poor part of educating them to what they need to do. Here's what we do. We teach them truth, and we teach them truth, and we teach them truth, and we say this, and we say that about what needs to go. But there are some foundational truths that are essential for discipleship. Now, every believer is not a disciple. We need to understand that. The Bible says, I preached this sometime back, a disciple is a learner, a pupil. One writer said this, the closest thing you can get to a disciple in today's language is an apprentice. Now, I guess that's right. And let me say this, salvation is free. Now, it wasn't free to the Lord, but it's free to us. But discipleship is costly. It's very costly. If you want to be a disciple, if you want to be a learner, if you want to grow, if you want to progress, if you want to go on with God, as Brother Brian preached, it's going to cost you something. There is a cost to it. Now, sometimes folks are stunted in their growth because they're not fed, because they do not get an opportunity to exercise in spiritual matters. But sometimes folks do not grow because they're unwilling to pay the cost. That's just the fact of it. And it may be, young folk, it may be you all are unwilling to pay the cost to go on with God. I don't know. I don't know how much you're willing. I don't know. Remember what was said in Luke chapter 9. Let me look over here and make sure I don't say it wrong. If any man will come after me, if you will, young folk, you don't have to. You can get saved and just stay right where you're at if you want to. There's some God's people that have done that. They've gotten saved. They've not been willing to read or pray or pay the price, whatever. We're going to look at it in just a little bit. Pay the price to go on with God. And so what they are, they're 40-year believers, but they're babes in Christ. They have not grown. And it's not because they didn't hear truth. It's not because they didn't have opportunity to exercise spiritually. But the fact of the matter was, they just wasn't willing to pay the cost on their end. And so here's what I'm going to say to you in just a little bit. You're going to have to decide if you're willing to pay the cost to go on with God. It's a pretty high price. God is not into cheap discipleship. He's not into it. He's not about just an easy way. He's not about, really not about 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Amen. And that's salvation, but he's not, once you are saved, there's not a cheap path to discipleship. Here's what we want. We want all the world has to offer and all God has to offer. And if we can get both of those, then we're happy. But it doesn't work that way. You can't have both. There is a cost to discipleship. And I'm going to just mention them to you tonight. And I know that you know these things, but I hope the Holy Ghost will challenge some of you young people to either decide, I'm going on with God, or I'm not willing to pay the price, and I'm just going to be a baby the rest of my life. That's where we're at. That's where the whole congregation is at. That's where you're at. You wives, that your husband's the head of the home, you can be a spiritual babe the rest of your life. That's what you want to be. Some have chosen that path. You have to choose. You have to either will. You will not be a true disciple by accident. It will not happen. You will not just coast along, whistle a tune, and one day you're just what you ought to be for God. It doesn't work that way. You have to pay the price. And so I just want to mention, I don't think I'll keep you. That's scary when I say that. I know it. But I don't think I'll keep you too long tonight. But I want you to look in Matthew, in St. Luke chapter 14. I want to start reading in verse 25. And I want to read just a little bit to you. And there went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Now here's what the Bible says. He cannot be my disciple. That's the Bible. Now here's what you would say if that was my theory. You're being unreasonable. You're being not sure. Ben, turn that off for me, please. You're being unreasonable. You're a fanatic to say you can't be the Lord's disciple unless you hate your father and your mother. And we know that's a comparison. We know we're to love everybody, even our enemies. But what it's really saying is we're to love God supremely. We're to love Him. Wives, listen at me. Let me throw a fanatical statement at you. You're to love God more than you're to love your husband. Now that's what the Bible says. Now if I had said that, you'd say you're foolish. You're crazy. The family's so important. And it is. But God said, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to love me more than you love anyone or anything else in this world. Now, am I preaching the Bible or not? Now, those, this will be on the internet after he uploads it. And here's what will happen. There'll be somebody listening and say, that guy's crazy. Our families are important. And the fact of the matter, they are. But God said, you have to love me more than you love your family. Let me throw one at you, Mom and Dad. You're supposed to love God more than you love your children. Now, if there's one weak link, if there's one place that the devil can run people off from the church, it's over their kids. Y'all know that. I'm very sensitive with parents, and some are worse than others, watching them with their children, because there's some, if you just look at their child sideways, they think you're being mean to it. That's how it is. But here's what God said. If you're going to be my disciple, you have to love me more than you love your children. Now, there's a catch to it. If you love God more than you love your children, you'll love your children more than you would putting them first. It'll be more right. Now, I know that, but I'm just saying this. If you really want to be a disciple, you have to love Him supreme. Some men love their job more than they love the Lord. They truly love their job. I mean, if their job dictated selling God out, they'd sell Him out. They love their job. You can't be a disciple. You're excluded. You can be a believer. You can't be a disciple. Young people, if you're more about your career than you are God, and you love your career, you cannot be a disciple. You can't go on. You're going to be a little babe 20, 30 years from now. That's just how it is. And I'd like to tell you it's different. I'd like to tell you there's no cost involved. There is a cost involved. You know why folks are not going on many times? They love other things more than they love God. And some of you's already turned me off. Because you're not going to have what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is what the Bible says. Go ahead, turn me off. Be a little baby down the road. Kicking around in a little playpen. And everybody having to bottle feed you and diaper you and cater to your whining and your crying because you wouldn't grow up as a child of God. We all know people like that. You just have to walk around on tiptoes, afraid you're going to upset them or bother them or do something to them. They haven't grown up. The reason many of them haven't grown up, they love their job or their family or their comforts, their fleshly comforts or their things. Some of y'all love your money. Let me say this. I don't have a right to say you do. I have a right to say there's a good chance some of y'all love your money more than you love God. There's preachers, and I've been guilty of it from time to time. I've loved the ministry and preaching more than I've loved the Lord. Well, it gets real quiet on that, but that's really the truth. You singers love to sing more than you love the one you're singing for. If you do, it's wrong. You can't go on like that. You can't be a disciple. I'm sad to say you're going to have to choose to put Him first, love Him supremely. And can I say, you're going to have to love Him all the time. Now, I don't know if y'all remember my little illustration. I'm going to use the same two I used 20 years ago. Jason, you and Jennifer, come up here. I want to give you just a little illustration to help you. Now, Jason, Jennifer loves you. No doubt about that. To put up with you, she'd have to love you. No doubt about that. She comes to you and she says this, Sugar Plum, I love you dearly. But I have another love. And 4 weeks out of the year, I'm going to love you for 48 weeks. I'm putting you first. I'm going to wash your clothes. I'm going to cook your meals. I'm going to cater to you. But for 4 weeks, I'm going to give myself to my other love. But I love you. I love you supremely because I'm giving you 48 weeks. Would you accept that deal? Would you think she really loved you? Okay. Honey, I understand. I'm gonna give you 50 weeks. And my other love, 2 weeks. What about 1 week? What about 1 day? No deal, right? Now, if Jason feels that way, how do you think the Lord feels? Y'all can be seated. Here's my point. I had a fella tell me one time, well, I come to church 11 months out of the year, only miss 1 month. I am putting the Lord first. No, you're not. You're not putting the Lord demands first place all the time. Amen. Yes, amen. He is worthy of it. Now here's my point before I go on. If you love anything more than you love God, your career, I've got a list of them. Let me see what I've got on my list here. Family, career, comforts of home, your things, your money, the ministry, the brethren. You know, some people would rather, some preachers rather fellowship with the brethren than they had fellowship with God. It's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm getting ready to go to a meeting, but that's why they run the meetings all over the country. They want fellowship with the brethren. Some love popularity more than they love the Lord. Some love their self more than they love the Lord. Notice what it says. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot. Without a doubt, no exceptions, cannot be my disciple. Can't go on. Can't progress. Can't advance. Can't be a pupil and a learner and a goer forth, a going forth, going on. Let's use the phrase Brian keyed in on the other night. A going on. So the first basis to going on with God is this. To love him supremely. I want to take you to Matthew 22. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul. That's the first and great commandment. And the second, love you. You know the passage. Now here's what you have to ask yourself, young folk. Here's what you got to ask yourself. Are you willing to love him supremely? Now I'm focusing on you four boys. But I know there's a group of girls over here. And they some back there. And maybe there's Bill back here, but I'm just going to focus on you all. Don't think I'm picking on you, but I'm talking about all of them. Are you willing to love the Lord supremely? Are you willing to do that? Good. You got to ask yourself. It's your decision. If any man will come after me, if you have a will to come after him, to go after him, you're going to have to decide this. Who you going to love the most? And it has to be God if you're going to be a true disciple. It may be none of you boys, but young folks will be disciples because you're not willing to. Or it may be all of you are, but it's your choice. Now here's what I'm asking. I'm moving you to a point of decision. What are you going to love? Now that's the basis. We're getting to the basis of discipleship. Discipleship and going on with God, you have to love him supremely. Now I feel like I'm just sitting here beating on that fact over and over and over, but it's critical. Now what is your supreme love, fellas and ladies? What is your supreme love? And mom and dad, what is your supreme love? And if it's not God, you're not going on. And that's how simple it is. And that includes family, friends, loved ones, job, career, whatever else. I can't even think of what it might be. But whatever else can be a love in your life that would fight. Yeah, and here's something else. Mom and Dad, don't put the love of the world in your children's hearts. I mean, why would you put love for sports in your kid's heart when that's going to compete for the love of God? Why would you put fishing and hunting love in your child's heart when that's going to compete for the love of God in his life?
Right.
Fill in the blank with whatever else you want. Why would you do that when they're supposed to love God supremely? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I mean, I'm not against playing a little ball in the yard or going fishing once or twice a year, but why make it a lifestyle and a love and build that in a child's heart, knowing that he's to love God supremely? Doesn't make sense to me. Well, let me go on if I can. Verse 26, I'm going to read it so I can read verse 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, if you were to go back to chapter 9, it talks about letting him deny himself. I think denying self is caught up in this passage and it hating his own life also. Now, let me just say this. If you're going to be a disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. You have a flesh that lusts against God. And as David said today, you can't overcome it on your own. It takes God to do that. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to deny the desires and the lust of the flesh. Now, let me tell you some of the things that you're going to have to deny. You're going to have to deny the appetites and urges of your flesh. I'm not necessarily talking about food. Your flesh has urges for things. Rest, for one thing. The other night, I'll give you this example. I really want to stay on preaching, not storytelling. But the other night, it was 10 o'clock, and I felt like I should get up and read, and I was tired. And I'm ashamed to tell you, I did not do that. I did not, through the power of the Holy Spirit, deny my flesh and yield to his promptings, and I lost the blessing because of that. But my flesh wanted one thing, and I felt like the Holy Spirit's leading me another way, and I was defeated because I yielded to my flesh and did not let the Holy Ghost help me do what was right. I think that if we're going on with God, we've got to deny. That's part of denying self. We've got to deny our thoughts and our feelings and our pride and our boastings. This is such a proud world we live in. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look at my accomplishments. And we might not say it, but we think it. And can I say, we've got to deny those things. We've got to deny those knee-jerk reactions to respond in an ungodly manner. Somebody says something, first thing we want to do is fire back with something. We've got to get away. We've got to get away from that. You cannot cater to the flesh, and you cannot overcome the flesh without the help of the Lord. We know that. He has to take us on. But through his help, we have to get victory over the flesh. We have to deny self. I could say, well, we do that with the Spirit helping us with self-discipline. Do you know one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit? Temperance. That's one of them. Love. You know how else we overcome? Love and caring. We know that's fruit of the Spirit. Sacrificing and giving. Helping and laboring. And so there has to be self-denial. Young folks, you have to deny yourself. You guys have to deny yourself. It's not about you. If you want to go on with God, it's not about you. It's about God. What you want to do, you can't do. Now, I know there's some things you can do. I mean, it's not like prison. But I'm just saying, when it comes to these things we're talking about, you don't get to do what the flesh wants you to do. You have to follow God. And you need to think, do I want to be a disciple? Because there's a cost. We're going to read in a minute, you sit down and count the cost. Here's what I think. I think a lot of folks have never, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gotten victory in the areas of self-denial. But then, let me say this. He cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so next, after self-denial, which we picked up over here, we have this thing of cross-bearing. And here's how I used to preach that. That's a burden. That's a burden that you have to carry. That speaks of pain. That speaks of humiliation. That speaks of embarrassment. And start naming things that's associated with the crucifixion of our Lord. That speaks of mockery. But you know, I don't think I took that far enough. You know what the cross really is? It's an instrument of death. It's an instrument of death. Listen to me, boys. If you're really serious about serving God, there's some things has to die in your life. It just has to die. I hope y'all don't think I'm picking on you. I'm not. It's just convenient for me to look at you. There's some things has to die. Every one of you boys have some ambitions, some dreams, some hopes, some wishes for your life. Can I say, it may be God has other ambitions and wishes and dreams for your life. It very well, and your ambitions may be in line with God. I don't know. But can I say this? If they're not, your ambitions have to die. Your dreams have to die. And you have to submit to what God has for your life. I can tell you this, the last thing I wanted to be was a preacher. But I'm so glad I am today. Now, what I'm trying to say, what he has for you is so much better than what you have for yourself. There's things has to die. You can't let them live because they'll come back to haunt you. Some people say it's like burning your bridges behind you where you can't go back. Some things just have to die. They have to be gone out of your life if you're going to be a disciple. The cross is an instrument and speaks of death. The fact of the matter is there's things has to die in our life if we're going on with God. It just has to be gone. It has to never exist in our life again if we're going on with it. Some folks are not willing to let the things that need to die in their life. They're just not. And so we have a shortage of disciples. We're going to see in a little bit, he's going to war with half the people that the adversary has. If he chooses to go to war. That's because there's great cost to discipleship. There's a great cost to it. Are you a disciple? I mean, I start thinking about this and I declare I'm asking myself, am I really a disciple of the Lord? There's some strong requirements for discipleship. And notice what it says time at the last part of verse 26, cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, he cannot be my disciple. You just can't be a disciple with these things in your life. Go ahead, try to shortcut it, try to be a disciple and keep them in your life. You can't do it. You're going nowhere with God. Let me just give you a few more and I'll be through. You got to take up your cross daily, daily. Doesn't say that in our text, I don't believe, but it does maybe in chapter 9 or in Matthew or Mark's account. We take up our cross daily. Chapter 9, verse 23 says, take up your cross daily. It's a daily thing. We have to die every day. Sometimes I get up and I just don't want to do what I ought to do that day. You ever get up and just not really want to be a Christian that day? Oh, I said the wrong thing, didn't I? Well, it's just how it is. You're not on the high spiritual plane every day of your life. You ain't fooling me, and I'm not fooling you. We struggle. We're flesh. But if we're going on with God, it's a daily activity. Not Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Daily. Every day. Take up your cross daily. Fellas, your desires, your wants, your ambitions, your goals, your dreams. Maybe God will let you have them, but there's a good chance God has other goals, ambitions, dreams for your life. You have to be willing to let your ambitions die and embrace and submit to His if you want to go on with God. No other way. All right, let me go on reading. Now, after that, after we die to ourselves, after we deny self and die to ourselves, after we love Him supremely, then we come down to a decision. There's two aspects to discipleship, two places it wants to take us to, and that's to a place of building and a place of warfare. That's the Christian life. You build and you war. You got the trowel in one hand, the sword in the other. I'm thinking about, was it Ezra or Nehemiah maybe that built the wall? He was ready to war on one hand, but he's building with the other while he's waiting for the battle. It's a two-sided thing. And here's what you have to do. Fellas, here's what you got to do. Are you willing to pay the cost? I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer it. Do you want to go on? And if you do, are you willing to pay the price, whatever it is? Of the things we've mentioned, are you willing to do, are you willing to love Him supremely, deny yourself, and let die in your life the things that need to die? Are you willing to do that? Girls, you spread out across the building. Are y'all willing to do that? Now, I'm talking about going on. Brother Brian was troubled the other day about going on, and rightfully so. Some of y'all are getting near young adult age, and you need to go on. Or you just, I guess you can be a little boy the rest of your life. Paul said, when I become a man, I put away childish things. Are you willing? Are you willing Are you willing to build? And here's what you need to ask yourself. Am I willing to finish? Don't start and quit like so many have. Just don't do it. Just sit down and count the cost and decide if you're willing to pay the cost, the price, to finish the work God has for your life. I think that's a fair. Well, that's what the Bible says. And then I want to ask you this. Are you willing to fight in the minority? Notice what the Bible says. Or what king going to make war with another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Young folks, are you willing to fight even though many in your age bracket is not willing to fight? Not willing to risk, take any risk. Not willing to face danger. Not willing to engage in conflict. You may be a coward. I don't mean that bad. We've all got a little cowardice in us. You just may be too scared. You may not want to take the risk. There will be battles if you go on with God. You have to decide. There's a great cost. Let me give you the greatest cost of all. Look in verse number 33, and I'll be through. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. If I said that, you'd say, you're foolish, that's ridiculous. I want to remind you, that's what God said. That's what God said. Are you willing to let everything go for him? I don't think it means we have to sell our house, sell our car. It don't mean that. But if he asks us to, we ought to be willing to. That's what he's trying to say. All those things have to be secondary. They have to be secondary. Are you willing to forsake all you have for him? If some were not, there'd be no missionaries on the field. They quit their job. Many times a really good job. They sell their house. They leave their family. They go to a country because they think that's where God wants them to go. And they go to a place where people don't want them. And they try to deliver a message people don't want to hear. They have forsaken all. One fellow said it well. At Christmas, their family don't gather with Mama and Papa around the Christmas tree and have a big dinner and do all those things. They don't do that. They have, in my mind, they have forsaken all. Would you be willing to do that? If you're not, can't be his disciple. You see, after having gone through these, there's probably not many willing to pay the price. Really not. You say you are, but probably not. Probably not. George Washington said this, and I'm not preaching George Washington, but he said few men can resist the highest bidder. There's some truth to that. Whatever pays us the most, we have a tendency to yield to. What What do you will tonight? I'm through preaching, really. What do you will? Do you will to be a disciple? Now, here's what I know. The cost is so great, you can't do it without the Lord's help. You just can't do it. It's going to take him. Are you willing to love him supremely, even over your family? Are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to take up that instrument of death and let die in your life what needs to die? Are you willing to build if it costs you everything? We desperately need a new church. Y'all know that well as I do. I think it's a true need. I've asked the Lord, are we just trying to be some kind of modernistic bunch, or is it a true need? I think we truly need that. But if we ever have one, somebody's going to have to pay. And I don't see nobody willing to pay. And maybe rightfully so. I don't know. I don't know. Are you willing? Are you willing to let die in your life what needs to die? Are you willing to build regardless of the cost, see it through? Are you willing to fight in the minority? And then last of all, are you willing to forsake all for him? Now, you take Luke 14, 25 through 33, and you read it when you get home, and you see if I'm overstating it. You see if I'm twisting it and trying to make more out of it than what it is. And I'm not saying you can't enjoy life. Don't you leave and say that. But I'm saying he's got to be first and foremost. And if he's not, you can't go on. We've got a lot of believers and few disciples. Amen. And I think if we would all be honest, we almost have to wonder if we're really a disciple. Amen. You know why the apostles turned the world upside down? They were willing to pay the price. Read what the Apostle Paul went through. Shipwrecked, beaten, with rods, thrice he was beaten, was it 39 times, 40 save one, or whatever, however it reads. All them perils of a countryman, perils at sea, and on and on and on. He just kept going. They'd throw him in prison, he'd just sing and pray his way out. That's what he did. You couldn't stop him. Put him in prison, they'd have revival. We'd be crying like a baby. I would be. I'd be brought, Brother Noel said. He said he wasn't singing and praying. He's declaring his innocence the whole time. And I guess that's what I'd be doing. There's a cost to discipleship. If we're going on, my heart's really heavy towards the young people. Young folks, if you're going on and you're at the prime age to give all you've got to him. If you're going on, and you've went a good ways, but there's a ways to go. You're going to have to pay the price. Let's bow our heads this evening. Somebody just get on the piano and just play just softly this evening. Has God spoken to you? Some are praying. Maybe you need to. What do you want? Spiritually speaking, do you want to go on? If you do, you can.